All right, welcome back into the Auburn Live Basketball Show. Appreciate everybody for joining us. I am Justin Hokanson. With me, as always, Mr. Alan Head. What's up, man? How are you?
What's up, Hoke? How you doing, man?
Good, man. We hadn't caught up since the end of the season. I guess we sort of caught up a little bit after the season, but wanted to sort of get into the portal and let some things sort of happen before we caught back up, and I think this is a good time to do that. Real quick, before we get into all of the roster talk stuff, shout out to Session Cocktail, sponsor of the show. Go down there and check them out right there on Magnolia Avenue. Just change up their menu. If you live in town, by the way, if you live in Auburn, they got trivia nights on Tuesday night. They got like bingo on Wednesday night, cash prizes, and all that good stuff. So there's some fun stuff there. I think Monday they've started doing happy hour all day. So that's good. I think they open at 4, but I think it's happy hour prices like all Monday. So that's good. So go check them out. Session Cocktail right there next to Taco Mama on Magnolia Avenue in downtown Auburn. And then as well, gametime.co, great place to get tickets and concert tickets or sporting events or whatever you might be looking for. Use the promo code War Eagle and get 20% off your first purchase. And then, you know, they have a deal where if you find tickets cheaper elsewhere after you bought from Game Time, they'll refund you plus some. So it's a good deal. You should never be caught out in the rain type deal where you purchased and you paid too much or whatever. So gametime.co, appreciate them. They're a sponsor of On3 as well as our podcast. So go check them out as well. All right. Well, if you have not been a subscriber to auburnlive.com over the last 3 weeks, I'm just going to say you're missing out straight up. The amount of just dumb takes I see out there because people don't read what I have to give them about what's going on. So let's talk about the roster a little bit and try to get through some of the stuff that's happened and what we think might happen, Alan. Obviously, KD enters the portal. Trey enters the portal. Aiden enters the portal. Auburn's got a commitment from and a signing from Furman point guard J.P. Pegues. Dylan Cardwell announces he's coming back. Janai Broome announces he's coming back. Neither of those were surprising. There was work to be done on both of those, but there was always optimism from the second the season ended that those things would happen. Weren't guaranteed, but optimism. Not surprised Aiden entered the portal. KD, I told people before the season even ended that don't count on him coming back. Trey was surprising because he didn't really let on that he was going to do it, but it wasn't surprising in that Auburn desperately wanted him back. I'll just sort of give you my thoughts and set the stage and let you run with it because I talked to a lot of sources throughout, okay? The deal with, and let's just talk about the point guard situation. Trey and Aiden, and then we'll talk about J.P. Pegues and what he brings, and I want to know what you think about watching sort of his game. The deal with Trey and Aiden was this. If they wanted to come back, they could come back. If they wanted to leave, they could leave. The staff was basically indifferent. They were going after a portal point guard, period. They knew they had to get better at that position, period, mainly from a scoring perspective. They needed a threat, a real threat, every game that could go out there and get 15. So they were going to recruit over Trey and Aiden's head. If those guys wanted to stay and compete, cool, but only two point guards are playing. So you run the risk of maybe I'm the third guy, I'm the odd man out, whatever. So that was the deal. If Trey and Aiden wanted to come back and compete with whoever they brought in, that's fine. If they wanted to go, that's fine too. And honestly, they probably preferred that. I think they kind of preferred that with Aiden because Aiden just a lot of struggles on and off the court. I'm not going to get into it all, but just some struggles. And I think that was a deal where it was probably better to part ways. Trey had some grittiness at times. They wouldn't have mind if he came back and it was a backup, but again, they didn't fight for him. If you want to go. So those two guys exit into the portal. Auburn didn't lose a second of sleep over that, I promise you. You go get J.P. Pegues, who is their top point guard target in the portal, the second he entered. Experienced guy, can get you some points, 18 points a game, all that good stuff. What's your take on sort of how that played out? what Auburn needed to do at the point guard position. We all knew they needed to get better. And from what you've seen of J.P. Pegues, what do you love about him, and how do you think he sort of fits with what Auburn's going to do?
So, great questions. And I think you kind of laid the groundwork here really well, in that it was expected that we were going to have some transition at the point guard position. If you looked over the course of Auburn's season, minus the non-con schedule,
yeah,
point guard play really was not where it needed to be for us to ultimately be successful. And if you're looking at the tournament game, yes, Chad Baker-Mazzara's situation hurt you in the Yale game. But the lack of production from the point guard position and the inability to control the flow of the game really hindered that offense. And thus, if you got anything out of Aiden or a little bit more out of Trey, I think we win that game. You go into your second round matchup versus San Diego State. Would that have changed or altered the course? No. I think Auburn always knew that they needed to upgrade this position and that they would invite those young men to compete because competition makes us all better. But every player has to make their own decision and what's in their best interest. And so good for those young men as they move forward in their careers and wherever they land. But I think they upgraded majorly with J.P. Pegues. You're talking about someone who excels in pick and roll play, a 35% three-point shooter, a veteran, and a guy that's been battle-tested. Obviously, he's hit big shots, none bigger than that three-point shot that he hit against Virginia last year in the tournament. Mm-hmm. But a guy that's going to come out there and be a floor general, a leader, and can mesh well with a senior-laden group. And it's kind of unique because if you look at Auburn's projected starting five right now, if you include Chaney Johnson in that, and we don't know who potentially they could bring in as a four-man that could compete with Chaney, but as of today, your one through five would all have started their careers at either mid-major schools, FCS, or D2. Which I find to be very interesting. But if you look at the successful teams, particularly take a peek at UConn, what did they do? They combined mid-major talent that moved up that was probably not evaluated correctly out of high school. And look, it's hard to get every evaluation, right? And it's not doable. And there are guys that outplay their initial ranking. But guys that outplayed that initial ranking, progressed, moved up, gelled together as a team, and then you combined it with some high major talent coming out of the high school ranks, McDonald's All-Americans, as I think they had the Castle kid that Auburn recruited, mm-hmm. and a couple others that are on that squad. Well, Auburn's doing the same thing. You've got Tahad Pettiford that's also coming into the mix that can give you some nice minutes at that combo position. And you talk about Katie Johnson leaving. Well, Tahad Pettiford is a ready-made replacement for Katie Johnson. And probably the things you love about Katie and the things you hate about Katie are almost the same emotion, right? Like, it is that reckless abandon that he plays with that gets him into trouble sometimes, and it's also what makes him great. But you take out that part of it, and you bring in all the scoring and a kid that's just been ultra successful at the high school ranks and somebody that I know this staff is extremely high on that can come in and fill that role as an instant scorer off the bench. But back to your question about point guard, upgraded significantly in my honest opinion, senior leader, floor general, scorer, and he also averaged 5 assists a game. Now, granted, that was in the Southern League, but I think – the way he excels in the pick-and-roll half-court game, I think that's going to carry over, especially with the way they're probably going to build the offense inside out and work with Janai, Dylan, Chaney, and then whoever else you bring in at the four position. And he gives you sorely what you've needed. I think Chad Baker-Mazzara was your best creator on offense this past year. Well, now this gives you another creator and also another year for Denver to continue to develop and find his role. So I cannot say enough good things about the moves this staff made as it pertains to the point guard position and then getting, obviously, Janai, Dylan to come back. Not only them, but Chad Baker-Mazzara has also gone public and saying that he's going to be returning. And then, obviously, the Moore kid is coming back as well. So another seasoned veteran. You're going to be older. One of those older teams this year that's probably going to excel in the tournament. Got a lot of experience. It scares me somewhat as you're moving or transitioning into the 2026 season or 2025, 2026, because you're going to be losing 7 players off this team.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're in a little bit of a weird spot from a roster composition the following year. But as far as this coming season, excited because I think all these guys play really well together.
Yeah, and it's something that you it just is what it is, and you had to do it. They're obviously they're aware. I already talked to them about, hey, what does that mean for next year? Like, what are you thinking about? You know, does that worry you? And they're not worried, but they understand next year is going to be different, and yeah, there's going to be a lot of turnover in both high school and portal. I mean, it's just a lot of guys are gonna leave, but they'll deal with that. Then you've got an opportunity to make this roster. Yes. Really strong and make a run, and you got to take advantage. Especially think big picture. Bruce is entering. Think his contract's got 6 years left. So after this year, you're looking at 5 years left. I mean, there's no more. Every opportunity, you take advantage of it, and you don't worry about, you know, the future really all that much, man. We're kind of to that point in Bruce's career where it's like whatever's right in front of you, you just go all out for it. Yeah, I like what you said about Pegues. I always thought the best thing about him is, yes, he's a scorer. What I told, one of the coaches that I talked to was, the veteran presence of him, his experience. I thought, you know, obviously he's got skills, but for what Auburn's going to look like next year, I thought the biggest asset, the biggest check mark, was you're bringing in a guy that's played a bunch of college basketball and should be able to fit right in terms of, hey, you now have to go lead Denver, Chad Baker, Janai, Dylan, Simo, bunch of dudes who played a bunch of basketball. But you have played a bunch of basketball too. And I think he can step in and be a leader and not be overwhelmed and go right into that room and go, I've played 3 years of basketball. I've been in the NCAA tournament too. And I think that's a huge deal for that team. I think if you would have tried to just bring back Trey and Aiden, you would have had two guys who would be coming in with not a ton of confidence. They both split time. They had their ups and downs, and in a lot of key moments, they didn't, they didn't sort of step up in some different ways. They did some good things, but they weren't real scoring threats, and so that was an issue. So I just thought the veteran presence of Pegues was such an awesome fit, combined with, of course, that he can score and do all that stuff. But I just think he's going to be like plug and play, go be a leader with a veteran team. Not anybody can be plugged into that Auburn roster next year and be really good, and I think he can. Obviously, you talk about Chad Baker coming back, Denver coming back, Janai and Dylan. Dylan was a guy that was either probably just going to go ahead and move on and play in Europe or play one more year. You know, he was tampered with some, but I everything I heard was it was pretty much like, does he want to go play in Europe or does he want to come back to Auburn one more year? He loves Auburn, and so just needed to sort of get things together. Janai, and I'll say this for the millionth time, was not transferring. I mean, man, I just wish that the amount of people I wish would read our site. He got tampered with? Absolutely. And I'm not going to name all the schools because I don't have permission to. You know, if somebody gave me permission to start naming schools, I would, but I'm not going to. But tampered with, yes. He was never transferring. There were never serious discussions, both in the Broom camp and both with the conversations they had with Auburn, where transferring ever came up. That family loves Auburn. They love that Janai's at Auburn. It was either Auburn or go ahead and go pro.
Yep.
Auburn stepped up right away from an NIL perspective. So that really wasn't an issue. And then I think it was just that camp making sure that they make the right decision, no turning back, and all that good stuff. So, Janai coming back. I think the interesting thing, and I've talked about it, I'm curious what you think about this, is can Janai and Dylan play a little bit more together? I've talked about that a little bit, and there's still an off season. There's a long way to go. But I've said that, and I feel like people aren't taking me seriously, or they think I'm like just guessing. That I'm not saying that's going to be the default, but I absolutely think it's potentially what could happen to start the game. It could give Dylan a few more minutes at the center, and it could give Broom a few minutes at the four, which is what both of those people want. Janai wants a few more minutes at sort of the four position, and Dylan wants a few more minutes in general. I still think once you start the game, then you get into a rotation of Chaney and whoever your other forward is, and you get in. And so instead of Dylan playing 14-something minutes, maybe he plays 18. And Janai plays basically the same, maybe a couple of minutes more, but he gets maybe a rotation at the forward or two rotations at the forward. That's all we're talking about. No kind of dramatic shift, but a little bit of one that allows Dylan to get a few more minutes and Janai to get a few minutes at the four. That's kind of what I've been talking about potentially some different lineups next year. What do you think about that? I mean, I think for Janai, like trying to be a pro, stepping out a little bit more, playing on the perimeter a tad bit more, whatever that might look like, wouldn't be a bad deal for him. And man, if you look at Dylan's numbers over 40 minutes, I can't remember what they are. They're not in front of me. But go look at not just like last year, but his career. If you extrapolate his numbers over 40 minutes, they're really damn good. I mean, they're really damn good. So like a few more minutes for him, if he can stay out of foul trouble, he could really exert himself, especially on the defensive end.
Well, I think, and everybody wants to kind of point towards NIL, and I'm sure that that was a tool that was utilized for retention, right? Like, there's no way that it wasn't. But with these two, them being further developed and prepared for the pro game, whether that's in Europe or whether that's in the NBA or the G League, it mm-hmm. is absolutely on the forefront for them. And so to do that, you have to be able to start to explore other territories. And Janai realizes that he's probably going to be a face-up four in the NBA. If he's going to make it at his size, he's going to have to play some face-up four and be able to step out and, you know, and be able to shoot the three and do some things in a five-out type offense. Dylan, back to the basket type player, I'm sure he's trying to expand his game some, but for him, it's really giving him more minutes to show what he's capable of doing, while also at the same time kind of protecting him some from the foul issues. And I think that's what gets him. It's not his play. It's sometimes he is so just giving everything he's got that he's not necessarily conscious of the foul trouble that he'll get himself into sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I think they'll be smart about that. So they're protecting themselves by going to bring in another four. But I'm with you. I think that probably is going to be your starting rotation. And I think there were probably some promises made, not that they were going to – that was what's going to happen, but we'll give you the opportunity to. And if you're the best players at those positions, then you'll 100% get the opportunity to play extended minutes there. So it's on the table, and I think that's fantastic for them. I think it's fantastic for Auburn. It's a win-win. In my opinion, when you saw Janai play at the four against UGA, because that was really the game where he was featured there due to a shortage with Jalen being out,
right?
I thought he excelled in that game. He was able to show facets of what he's capable of doing at the four and the five, and he's probably a combo at the next level. And if you give him a year to do that, it helps him. It helps Auburn. It makes us much more difficult to prepare for because you have guys that can play multiple positions. So it works on all fronts, in my opinion, and then having the point guard to tie all that together. And I want to go back to this real quick before we talk more about the rest of the team, but you hit the nail on the head, and I just want to commend you on this. You had to have the right fit at point guard. Mm-hmm. You had to have a strong personality to come in with several other strong personalities on this team and a guy that can take charge in those minutes where it's a tight game. And I think that's where you saw Auburn suffer more than anywhere else, is when you got into tight matchups at the point guard position where Bruce looks for ultimate leadership. You did not have someone that could really kind of control the game. You would see us start to get tense and then take bad shots, or, you know, ball movement wasn't where it needed to be. You had to have a guy that could come in and absolutely own it and take the reins of it. That's what JP Pegues is and can do. And I think he'll mesh extremely well with that veteran group that you just talked about. And it also helps you because he can be a mentor for a guy like Tahad Pettiford, who I know this staff is high on and has a very high opinion of his future. So I love the way they went about this. I'm interested to see what the next two pieces are going to be, because I do believe you have to get two more pieces. You've absolutely got to get a backup point. And you need another four because you have to have depth. I don't believe the young man we took in from junior college right now is a ready-made option for us in that rotation. I like his upside. I think he's a great practice player and somebody that can give you minutes like Stretch used to. But he's not prepared to be in a two-deep rotation at that position, and that not in my opinion. Now maybe I'll feel differently after a summer and a fall of how he's preparing, but to me, you got to get another four or another five, one of the two, to be able to feel really good about your future should you sustain any injury next season.
Yeah, and I agree with you on A.D. Scott. He's a good athlete. He's not there yet, but he does have a role. I mean, I told somebody on the board, like, he's really good on the scout team. He might go, that stuff matters. I mean, for what it's worth, it does matter. And he got better last year, and he's a pretty good player, and he's a really good athlete. And so on the scout team, he's pretty good. He's a pretty good guy to go, like, Janai battling against him, or when Chaney has to go against him. It's an athletic guy that they got to go against in the scout team. So he does have purpose. And I think on the point guard thing, you make a good, you know, just sort of hitting on that leadership deal. You think back, and it was just so frustrating last season because you didn't know if the game was tight or however the game, maybe Aiden has a good game, maybe Trey has a good game. You could never count on either one. You didn't know. You went into the game and you're like, well, we have a rotation, but it could be Aiden this game. It could be Trey this game. It could be they both could be okay. They could both be bad. You just didn't really know. And then so you have to get into the game. Then you got to figure out who's playing well. Well, then you're like, okay, Trey's playing well tonight. Okay, well, now I've got to think about my rotations because Trey plays really well with Dylan. But if Trey's playing better, I might need him to play the last 6 minutes of the game with the starters. Okay, so now, like, it just not having a guy and having to think about the two and who was going to be better one night or the other, then you're thinking about what's the second half going to look like, or it just became it became tough. You saw different times where Trey would play the last bit of the game or Aiden would play the last thing. You saw some games, and I have to go back and find the game, but I remember a game where Bruce said, I wish I would have kept Trey in, or I can't remember what game it was, right? Trey was playing pretty well, but because of the rotations, mm-hmm. He couldn't play like 9 straight minutes. And so it just was a juggling act with those two. And so I think if you can get Pegues in there and say, okay, he's going to be consistent. And I can build the rotations around him, and I'm not going into the game wondering which guy is going to be good. And then in the middle of the game, every time having to figure out what the last 8 minutes might look like. Will be big. And it's really been the last couple of years, it's kind of been the one thing that's lacked from this Auburn team is winning close games. They've won a bunch of games, but there have been a lot of close games that have not gone their way. And you could point to point guard play, mm-hmm. not just last year, but you could point to Wendell the year before. Just, I don't know. I'm trying to be nice. I mean, just not point guard play you could rely on down the stretch to get a bucket or to make the smart play or the best play. You just didn't have that. And there's a bunch of games that they were right there in that they lost, both in the year that they finished as a 7 seed, you know, and then last year, ton of games that were single digits that they lost, a bunch. I mean, their record over the last 2 years could be so different if they could have made a few more plays in the last 4 minutes of a game. So different. So that's the hope for Pegues, is you've got a guy that can make those plays and can make a smart play. And now look, offensively, JP, 18 points a game. He can get a bucket. Denver can get a bucket. Chad Baker can get a bucket. So you're three guys there. If you're the defense, I don't know how many perimeter defenders you have, but every time out, multiple guys. And then at any point, you can dish it to Janai. Then, of course, if Cheney's in there. So offensively, you were already really good last year, and you took a big step up with getting JP. So now the question is, where do they go from here? And you talked about it, and that's the deal, is a backup point guard and a backup forward for depth. I think they get those two positions. That'll put them at 12, and they'll be done. I know the corner message board loves that. They're going to, you know, that they don't use the 13th one, but that's probably what's going to happen. It's like people complaining that he plays too many players. It's like I got into an argument with a guy on – not a big argument, and it's nothing personal. It's all good. But like, of all the things to complain about 10 years into the Bruce Pearl era, I'm not sure complaining about the fact that he plays a lot of guys. It's just like, I don't know, man. It feels like banging your head against the wall. That's not changing. You can complain about it if you want. Go for it, man. Knock yourself out. But he's going to play a lot of guys. Like, he's not changing. So I don't know. It's kind of one of those things, like, I don't know. Have discussions about stuff that may change, or you can yell at a wall. I don't care. So what do they do at backup point guard and backup forward? I really don't know, man. I told the board the other day, I said, listen, from here on out, be patient. because I think things are going to be quiet. I think they could go portal. I think they could go JUCO. I think they could go high school if there's an option out there, you know, depending. I think there's a lot of ways they could go with trying to find those two positions. The challenge is, from a portal perspective, nobody in the portal right now is gonna jump on either one of those opportunities, because anybody in the portal right now wants minutes. And yep. All Auburn could do is say, hey, come play point. They're going, well, didn't you just get a point? Well, yeah, but we need two. So I might be the backup. Well, I was the man at where I was, and I'm into the, I'm not going to commit to being a backup. Same thing at the forward. So if it's a portal guy, I think it's going to be, anything that happens is going to be late in the process, especially portal. It'd be something that happens at the very end of the window, maybe after the window closes, whether it's a guy that's in there that didn't maybe get the attention he thought, or maybe it's a guy that enters late, like Chaney was like, I'll just be grateful. I'm a sophomore. I got a couple years. I'd love to move into the SEC, man. Give me 10 minutes a game. That's cool. Something like that. Or, you know, is there somebody that's not in the portal yet that you can, you can coax in there or something, or you can keep your eye on. So a lot of stuff will happen, but that's sort of the challenge now is it's not Pegues where you're like, dude, you're probably gonna be the starter. You don't have that. So trying to get somebody to jump on board to be a backup right now is going to be tough. The window closes on the 30th. I've been told this thing's probably going to run up to the very end of the 30th, maybe even after the window closes, in terms of who they fill those spots with. But the bottom line is the core of the roster is there. This is just build the correct depth here. Let's see what you can do the best we can do here. But all the heavy lifting is there. You got Janai back. You got Dylan back. You landed your point guard. The heavy lifting's there. Now it's just like try to get icing on the cake and build the best depth you can.
I couldn't agree with you more. And worst case scenario, maybe Simo slides over to the four position for you and Jakai Howard gets your backup 3 minutes. Simo gets your backup 4 minutes, and maybe Taha can combo for you. And that's worst case, say you don't land anybody, right? Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen, but worst case, you're still in really good shape from a roster standpoint. So you've got options. And you're right. I don't think any one of those levels you just mentioned of where you can accrue talent from is closed off. Think about, I think Auburn was very heavily involved with the Vandy transfer this time last year. Things kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
And then that opens the door for Chad Baker-Mazzara, who came from junior college.
Mm-hmm.
Junior college is, in my opinion, there are some really good players at junior college that aren't necessarily being tapped into by high major schools anymore, because of the evolution of the portal, and people want to be able to go out and get somebody that probably played similar competition. But that doesn't mean that they're bad players at junior college. It just means that you have to trust your evaluation. Same with high school, especially if you're looking at a kid that's a marginal 4-star or a 3-star. But Bruce has had a lot of success with guys like that. Guys like Bryce Brown, Jared Harper was a high 3, low 4 when Bruce and Tony Jones found him. And then turned around and, he obviously blossomed after Peach Jam that year. So there are still guys that are available on all levels. It does not necessarily have to come from the portal, but I am interested to see where they do come from once names start to materialize. I know you'll be on the front end of that. You and Jeffrey are very well pulsed in. I can't imagine anybody being better suited to be able to provide that coverage to you once it's available. But for those that might worry about Auburn's roster right now, no, you're absolutely right. You've got 9-10 guys you can count on right now that if Auburn had to roll the ball out there, they could absolutely run Bruce's rotation. So they're okay. They can only get better. It'll be interesting to see. And I do think that you probably can entice what you would call a better caliber prospect at the four than maybe the point, because Chaney hasn't cemented himself in the same way that J.P. Pegues has at this level.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit different, but I think this staff is really high on Chaney Johnson. I thought his evolution through last year and how he started to perform down the stretch really kind of changed my opinion of him. And I think the coaching staff was always high, but seeing him be able to do it at that level certainly gave them encouragement moving into this year. And I think they fully believe that young man has a lot of star potential to him.
He might be. Like off-season wise, the X factor. Yeah. I mean, if he can make the same type of incremental jumps that he made in season that you saw, I mean, you saw it in real time from the beginning of the season to conference play starting to the end. The way he improved was, you go watch him the first 10 games and you go watch him the last 10 games. And it's like, what? When did you get a turnaround jumper? When did you get a fadeaway elbow? You know, where did all this come from? And Bruce said it. He's like, listen, he's got a bag of tricks that you guys haven't seen yet. He just started to get confidence. And, man, like, think about the Florida game. He did the fadeaway, and you're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
He showed some really nice stuff. So if he can make those kind of jumps in the offseason the way he just did in season, he's probably got, you know, he's probably got the most room to make the biggest jump in the offseason. You know, Chad Baker's kind of been around a little bit. Denver, those guys can get better. I think Chaney could get, like, a lot better.
Yeah,
he's going to be really, really interesting to watch. The other point I wanted to make, and you tell me if you agree, on kind of how they're going to go about filling these last two spots. The other point I think to think about is, and I don't know how, I haven't actually asked this question to anybody on the staff, so I don't know exactly how much they're thinking about this, but is the current roster. The portal's still open. Now, I don't think they're in any danger, but I also don't think you want to risk. So, for instance, RJ Godfrey's a kid from Clemson that they're interested in. You know, if you go after, like, a big-time guy at a forward or a guard spot, Pegues is signed, but do you run any risk of somebody on your roster going, whoa, hold up. Like, I thought I was kind of the guy. I thought it was my turn.
Right.
And now we're bringing in, you know, a guy from whatever, RJ Godfrey. And you're like, well, now, like, let's just say hypothetically that happened, and Chaney might be going, whoa. Well, I thought I was going to be the guy. Now you're bringing in this guy from Clemson. I might be the backup again. I don't know that I love that. So I don't know how realistic that is. I think everybody on the roster loves being there. But I would have to think it's something to consider how you go about this in terms of keeping it quiet. Maybe you still go after him. But I think from here on out, you got to keep things relatively quiet, because I don't think the last thing you want to do is ruffle any of the current guys' feathers, whether it's a Chaney or Denver, whoever it might be, that they go, wait a minute, I thought I was the guy, and now I hear you're going after somebody that could easily be the starter. That could be an issue. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. I think you have to be very thoughtful about how you go about roster composition moving forward, because you do have guys that not necessarily made promises to, but that you've, you know, recruited and built relationships with, and guys that feel comfortable in their roles and think they're ready to, you know, kind of submit themselves, especially guys, we just talked about it, but you've got seven seniors moving into this season now,
mm-hmm.
with the addition of JP Pegues. These are guys that all want to play. So the thought that they might be threatened somewhat by an addition like an RJ Godfrey might not necessarily be appealing to them. Maybe they would invite the challenge and they would have a good attitude about it. My guess is that if you're bringing in portal prospects, you're probably going to quietly recruit them. I mean, strongly, but quietly recruit them until you get on the other side of the window. I think it closes May 1, correct?
Yeah, I think through April 30th. So, you know, midnight or whatever, April 30th, I guess it's closed.
Right. April 30th, midnight, it's closed. May 1st, and then maybe you're a little bit more vigorous in your pursuit of bringing somebody onto the roster. And you're not trying to trick people, but, I mean, it is what it is now, right?
Yeah.
If kids have the freedom to go and come as they choose, well, coaches have to be very cognizant of that, and they have to, you know, they have to be very cautious about how they recruit certain prospects. You got to protect yourself, man. You just do. It is what it is now, and I don't want to color it as dirty or anything like that. It's not. It's just watching, you know, it's CYA at the end of the day. It's making sure that you're covering your assets and that you're doing right by, you know, how you build a roster. But
I like that. CYA, cover your assets.
Yep, cover your assets. We use another term in my office, but we'll leave that off today.
Well, Ja'Kai's a good example. Really talented, 6'8", could play three, like, could, whether it's a forward or a high school guy, he's a guy that, you know, if you went after somebody to brought him in, he's a guy that could get scared off potentially. Like, well, you know, I'm going to play sort of the three and maybe even four, depending on whatever happens. Now you're bringing in a sort of a guy like me, let's say, potentially. He's a guy that you want to make sure you keep on the roster. There's just, I think, a lot of things to think about other than just simply going to get somebody. It's making sure that we don't scare anybody away and mess anything up. All right, let's end on this. Actually, a good question from Zach, and I haven't thought about it until literally reading that, but I think it's a good thing to end on. and that's Jani Broome. An All-American coming back, which is just rare in college basketball. Auburn's never had it happen. A chance to have a two-time All-American with Jani. Where would you, when you start to think about him as all-time Auburn basketball greats, you know, where does he stand now? I guess where does he stand now, but where could he stand? I mean, I think now there's probably a lot of play. He's done a lot, but he's been at Auburn 2 years. There's probably been a lot of players that have done what he's done. I say a lot, like relatively. Another year, I think, puts him in rare air in terms of, if he does that again, in terms of Auburn basketball greats. Just the points, the rebounds, the assists. Where is he? You know, nobody ever supplants Barkley, because even statistically, if you have better stats at Auburn than Barkley, he's just kind of, because sure. of who he was and how good he was, you're probably never going to, everybody's probably going to go Barkley, number one, right? As you think of like greatest player. But man, I mean, after Barkley, I don't see why, if Jani does what he did this year, if he does that again, I don't see why you couldn't then start to make the case for Jani against anybody that's ever put on an Auburn uniform, including Charles. Charles has just got the luster. He's got the superstardom that he'll, you know, it's like Bo. You know what I mean? It's just, that's going to be number one, I guess. But what do you think?
Well, so you've got guys from the 80s, and you mentioned one of those, and obviously Charles Barkley, but Chuck Person,
yeah,
Chris Morris. Those are guys that you have to think of when you think about greatest of all time. You move into the 90s, you've obviously got Wesley Person as somebody that you've got to account for when you think about great Auburn players. And then the rest of that era, I guess the end of it, you've got Doc Robinson and Bryant Smith, Mamadou Njai, Chris Porter. Those are all players that you would think about that are comparable. Now, Jani's accomplished more probably than that group, but a team that a lot of Auburn fans that it resonates with, just because we don't have, you know, prior to Bruce, you've got like pockets of history, right? Like you've got the Sonny Smith era on that 5-year stretch he went on in the 80s. And then Cliff Ellis had some he had some success. He went to the tournament, I think, at least 3 or 4 different times. And on the tail end of his career, Marquise Daniels was a big player for Cliff right there at the very end. So he probably factors into that somewhat. And then you get into Bruce's group where you have, you know, Bryce Brown, Jared Harper, Chumu Kiki, Walker Kessler, Jabari. Yeah. And then I'm losing the young man's name, went to the Cavs.
Oh, Isaac Okoro.
Isaac Okoro.
You can call Samir in there. Samir's that's his second year was, or third year, I guess, was fantastic.
Definitely.
But
and so you have to put Jani at the top of Bruce's group, I would think. I mean, I think him and
yeah.
With what he's accomplished at Auburn, I think he's at the top of Bruce's group. Is he better than Chuck Person, Charles Barkley? No, probably behind them. Would I put him better than that 90s group of Cliff Ellis? Probably somewhere around the same criteria as, you know, as Chris Porter, who, I mean, look, for a stretch there was not a hotter prospect in Auburn when he was wrecking rims and splitting the wig every time he went out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll always be partial to that group. That was kind of right when I was getting ready to go to college. I think I was a junior in high school when that group was ranked number one in the country. But I don't know. He's somewhere in your top 10 for sure. Probably top 6 all time, I would think, in Auburn history. Just because you have to be cognizant of the history that some of those other guys have and what the lineage they went on to have in the NBA. But I mean, he's accomplished a lot. To have a returning All-American that can only further cement his career moving forward and what he's able to accomplish, regardless of what he accomplishes as a pro.
Yeah.
You would have a guy that would be, if they make the tournament again, 3-time tournament, potential All-American season again this year, so 2-time All-American, and just, you know, an absolute leader and a guy that has every opportunity to make the NBA. Probably not a first-round draft pick at this point, but a guy that could absolutely find himself in the second round and one of those kind of guys that, like Adam Harrington, like Marquise Daniels, can carve themselves out a role and have a you know, an NBA career that goes longer than maybe some people would anticipate.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you could debate talent or skill set, but in terms of accomplishments, It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for you to put almost anybody that's ever put an Auburn jersey ahead of him if you just went strictly on accomplishments. And right. Not just college basketball, but even just his 3 years at Auburn at that point. Not many. I mean, the amount of points and rebounds and assists and All-American status, and if they can make a run in the tournament, but even if they didn't, he'd have a tournament championship to his name. He'd have three NCAA tournaments to his name. Like, he's going to have a lot of accomplishments. Zach asked if he could get his number in the rafters. I don't know, because I don't know how they sort of make those decisions. But right away, no. But, my gosh, I mean, how many All-Americans has Auburn basketball had? I mean, just a handful. He's one of them. So I don't know what it takes to get in the rafters, but I would think All-American status is a pretty good way to get up there. So we'll see what happens this year. But yeah, I do think you sort of have to pivot and start thinking about Janai as an all-time Auburn great.
I agree.
Ahead of Walker, ahead of Janai, like Jabari. I know you love them and they're good in the NBA, but you're gonna start thinking about Janai as one of the best ever to wear an Auburn uniform. So really can't wait to see what he does coming back another year. All right, let's get out of here. We'll come back. I think we'll let sort of things play out in the next couple of weeks. And if Auburn can figure out this roster, we'll come back and sort of do a post-portal wrap-up once they fill those two spots. Hopefully it doesn't go on too long, and we can kind of talk about the full roster and sort of what things look like and all that good stuff. Sound good?
Sounds good, brother.
All right, let's get out of here. Go to auburnlive.com and subscribe. Subscribe to the YouTube channel too. Turn on notifications. That helps. Zach says that helps. So do that. Especially notifications. I don't know the algorithms, but do it. And come to Auburn Live, man. Portal for football obviously is going on, and all that good stuff. So a lot of stuff going on the message board and all that. So hope to see you there. Alan and I will come back here in a couple weeks to wrap this thing up. Until then, have a good one. We'll see you.